Greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, January the 15th, 2012. This is the day before Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is observed. So Dr. King is on our spirit, mind, soul, heart, and body. And on the Mind of God program, Dr. King would agree that we work daily and nightly, even in our dreams, we work to fight against the consciousness and mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. We fight every day against those that shed the blood of the innocent sisters and brothers oppressed internationally. We fight consciously to free our minds and thinking from those wicked ruling class and ruling families that are the warmongers on this earth. We fight to free our minds from the thinking and mentality of the Illuminati Masonic Order, the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, they who want us to participate in the destruction of the human family, the destruction of the oppressed black, brown, red, yellow, and white. We want to leave that mentality, that thinking, that consciousness, elevate our minds, come out of that thinking, and climb up into the thinking, the mind, the brains, the consciousness of Jesus Christ. I and I God and I and I Savior. King Haile Selassie is Jesus Christ Nunim. We want to think like God, like Christ, like Yahuwah, like Yahweh, like Allah, like Muhammad. We want to think like Krishna, like Buddha, these revolutionaries. We want to think like Dr. Martin Luther King. We want to think like Minister Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. We want to think like those freedom strugglers who sought to organize and come together for freedom, justice, and equality, who broke down the barriers of race, class, ethnicity, gender, age, all of those boundaries of religion and denomination, philosophy, ideology, broke down all those barriers and sought to come together for freedom, justice, equality. We know the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth, and we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary institution and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is yet my producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website, and I am thankful unto the Most High for that beautiful sister, and I pray that the Most High continues to bless her, keep her, guide her, and her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net, yahlove@comcast.net. Now let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Father Creator and the Most High Mother Creatress, we give praises unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Most High Father, the word Father is Ab. You hear Abba. So putting that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh Abba. And in Numbers chapter 11, Moses refers to Yahweh as having the attribute of begetting. That's the Almighty Father. In the African Arabic language, the name of the Father is Allah. Allah is an African Hebrew and an African Arabic word spelled A-L-L-A-H. In the Hebrew, Allah means to ascend. So when we come into contact with the Most High Father, we ascend into knowledge. We recognize the Most High Father in Egypt. His name there was Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, the Most High Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. We also must pause to give thanks and praises to our wonderful and precious and beautiful Mother, the Almighty Mother Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. Mother Holy Spirit is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah, found on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It is feminine, referring to a feminine entity. The word mother in the African Hebrew language is aim. Putting that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh aim for the Almighty Mother Holy Spirit. In that same Numbers chapter 11, Moses refers to that same Yahweh as also having the attribute of conceiving. Yahweh is father and mother, producing life, giving birth to life. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful and wonderful and precious mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of the human family, mother of universe, mother of sun, stars, moon, and planets, as father is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, her name and title are Ruach HaKadosh. That word Ruach is an African Hebrew word found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It is feminine because Mother Holy Spirit is feminine. She is our mother. In the African Arabic language, the name of Mother Holy Spirit is Illah, spelled I-L-L-A-H. Our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say Ashadu Illah, Illah Ha'il Allah. You hear Illah three times and you hear Allah one time. Translated normally, there is no God but Allah, but we know that this means there are none but our mother Illah and our father Allah. Our Islamic sisters and brothers all also say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Normally that is translated in the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, or in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. But you hear Bismillah, that's Illah. Rahman ar-Rahim, Beneficent, Merciful, are rooted in an Arabic word that has to do with the womb, W-O-M-B. So properly understood, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim means in the name of our mother Illah, the womb through whom we receive beneficence and mercy. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit was known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grandmother. So, it is my privilege, my duty, my honor, my privilege to greet you, sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. Believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie I Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So I and I say Jah, Rastafari, Haile Selassie I, as the new names of Jesus Christ in these last days of judgment in Babylon, Rome, United States of North America, Britain, Europe in general, Israel. They are the Babylon, and these are their last days in rulership. This is to teach us that Christ, that Mashiach, desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities, making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, Revelation, a book about the time of the original African Hebrew church in that day of Rome, and a book also of these last days of modern day Rome and modern day Babylon, which is America, Britain, Israel, et al. In the last days, Christ would come, Christ would manifest, Christ would reappear. How? In the personality of we who have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of revolution, the mind to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor, the mind of Yeshua, which is the returning of the land, the wealth, the resources back to the oppressed, the mind to obliterate the rulership of the oppressed, and we, the oppressed, excuse me, obliterate the rulership of the oppressor, destroy the rulership of the oppressor. That is the mind of Yeshua, the mind of Christ. And we, the oppressed, raised up to rulership as number two in the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. And the Most High is the number one ruler. And the Most High will be total manifested within your, my, our personalities. I and I, you and me are the I and I. All of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, in this divine universe, under that divine Milky Way, on this divine planet we call Earth, in these divine physical houses we call our physical bodies. This is the day of the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. And make we manifest in totality the Most High within ourselves, and unite and come together and overturn in our minds the rulership of Babylon, the rulership of these puppets who are nothing but puppets and actors on a stage they did not create, put in power by the wicked ruling class of today, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers. This is that day of the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. Let us return to Revelation. This book of Revelation, seven letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor, Northeast Africa, seven aspects of the black man and woman in the Americas, of the black church, black preacher, those black people who go to church, but also seven aspects, seven characteristics, seven attributes of those who are not black, those who are brown, or we who are brown, red, yellow, and poor white. Because this calling of Christ is to every sister and brother under the sun, no matter your color, ethnicity, race, class, creed, gender, denomination, religion, philosophy, ideology. These seven churches are showing us a mirror of ourselves, showing us where we are doing good, but also showing us where we need to improve. Because the mission is to come together, stand together, deliver the oppressed, destroy the rulership of the oppressor, come together, manifest the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. We've gotten down to verse 18 of chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. The church that we're dealing with now is Thyatira, which means is found under the number 2363 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, and it means the odor of affliction. And I want we, the black man and woman who have suffered untold sufferings as enslaved people and oppressed people in the Americas, Africans International, but not just us, the Native American sisters and brothers, the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere suffered untold sufferings. The oppressed brown, red, yellow, and the oppressed poor white also suffered untold sufferings. The odor of affliction. We've been afflicted because we are they who threaten the very existence of this nasty, filthy, disgusting, rotten system of privatized and parasitic capitalism. This system implemented and forced upon us by the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. So you see the Republicans and the Democrats looking at the threat, looking at the so-called left, looking at Louis Farrakhan, looking at Omalia Shetella, looking at Jeremiah Wright, looking at Tavis Smiley, Cornel West, looking at Ava Muhammad, Tynetta Muhammad, looking at Angela Davis, Kathleen Cleaver, anyone who will rise up and challenge this system. We are they who suffer the affliction, who have become the odor of affliction. We are Thyatira because we are they who threaten the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. We threaten the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, who are controlled by the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. So we want to see how we match up to Thyatira. And we want to pay homage to all of those sisters and brothers who went before us, no matter their color, race, ethnicity, class, and creed, no matter their religion, their philosophy, ideology, anyone who has stood up in any fashion on behalf of the oppressed, we pay homage to them. And we specifically and particularly pay homage to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who could have stayed in church and lived a nice, easy, comfortable, middle-class life, but chose to unite with radicals, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Congress on Racial Equality, who chose to unite and seek audience with Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, who kept Dr. King, I'm talking about, who kept up correspondence with Minister Malcolm X. How many of you would have done that, preacher, teacher, no matter your religion? How many of you and us, how many of us would have done that? Dr. Martin Luther King, who saw value in Islam, saw value in Buddhism, saw value in communism and value in capitalism, and sought to unite all the philosophies and the ideologies along the best of those philosophies and create a new synthesis of the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth, where all of us, no matter we color, so on and so forth, can live together in peace, no matter our religion, class, ethnicity, creed, denomination, having equal access to all that is under the sun, living as total manifestations and woe manifestations of the Almighty Yahweh Father and Mother here and now on this earth. So we pay homage and we say we love Dr. Martin Luther King, and we're going to finish his job. And we're going to pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program, thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is Sunday, January the 15th, 2012, the day before the federal recognition of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. And we talked about the eyes of fire, fire with revolution. Black man and woman, you are the Jesus. You are the Christ. You are the Hebrew. You are the Messiah people. Chosen not to be arrogant, but chosen to raise up the Christ within all of the oppressed, no matter we color. We are to have the eyes of fiery revolution. And we are to see that spirit of revolution in all of the oppressed internationally. That is what Dr. King was doing, raising up that fiery Christ spirit within all people that are oppressed, and standing up against the oppressor internationally, coming out against the war in Vietnam, coming out against warfare in totality, because he knew that it only benefited those in power, the ruling class and families, as we would say, the Illuminati Masonic Order, the House of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, who finance all participants in warfare and weaponize all participants in warfare and control the central banks and control the major militaries of the world and tell Obama when to go to war, how long to go to war, how many to kill, how long to kill. Dr. King was against that. And any of us who are foolish enough to think that Dr. King would be quiet in this day and time because we have a black president, we better think again. Because Dr. King was not a punk, and Dr. King was not a sellout, and Dr. King, no matter who was in office, Democrat, Republican, black or white, you know he would stand up against warfare and bloodshed. You know that Dr. King would not allow us to think that we're doing ourselves a favor by supporting a black man in office who is willing now to go to Iran and go to war, who is fomenting CIA operations, using CIA operations along with Israel to assassinate various scientists in Iran, to provoke Iran into a war, to provoke Iran to close down the Straits of Hormuz, I believe that is called. And we must ask ourselves, who benefits from such a conflict? Who benefits in forcing Iran to close down the Straits of Hormuz, which is what they are threatening because of all this wickedness that America is doing through the CIA and through the Mossad in Iran? Who benefits? You don't benefit. If you're white, you don't benefit. If you're black, you don't benefit. If you're brown, red, and yellow, of the poor peoples and poor class and working class, you don't benefit. We don't benefit. Who benefits? Does it even benefit those who are the presidents and prime ministers of this world? No. Who does it benefit? Because the presidents and prime ministers are merely puppets doing the bidding of puppeteers. So it benefits the puppeteers and not the puppets. So yes, we call out Obama, but my anger is not totally towards him. My anger wasn't totally towards Bush when he was in office, because both of these are puppets. My anger is not totally towards the Democrat or Republican Party. My anger is not totally towards those, this fiery, revolutionary anger of Jesus Christ. It's not totally towards those Republicans running for office, because I know that they're only puppets. Yes, they want to destroy Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They want to destroy education. You have governors all over this United States of North America, both Republican and Democrat. In California, you have Jerry Brown, who is working to destroy the poor every day. I'm angry with him, but not totally angry with him. My anger is at the puppeteers. Those Rothschilds and Oppenheimers who have embarked on an austerity program international to squeeze working class and working people all over this planet. The eyes of fiery revolution, Jesus Christ, with God and with Savior. King Haile Selassie is Jesus Christ's new name. I, Christopher James Frazier, am Jesus Christ's new name in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Dr. King was Jesus Christ's new name in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Louis Farrakhan is Jesus Christ's new name in these last days of judgment in Babylon. O'Malley Yeshetela, Tavis Smiley, Cornell West, Harry Belafonte, Danny Glover, Randall Robinson, Francis Cress Wilson, Kathleen Cleaver, Angela Davis. These are the new names of Christ in this time. Those Occupy Sisters and Brothers and Protesters International. We are all the new names of Jesus Christ, and we have fiery eyes of revolution. And we are angry at this nasty system. And we want to see a better day. We want to see the full totality of the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. And we will not rest until we see such manifestation and womb manifestation in our lifetime or definitely in the lifetime of the youth. And we talked about the feet and how the feet of brass, because Jesus was a black man and is a black man and is an African. And we're going to get into that even in more detail. But the feet, the word feet is pous, 4228 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. And it has to do with a teacher. And it has to do with disciples, students sitting at the feet of the teacher. And who is the teacher? The teacher is Yahshua. The teacher is Yahshua Christus, Yahshua Messiah. Who is this great teacher? Jesus Christ, you call him in the Greek and the Latin, but his African Hebrew name is Yahshua, and his African Hebrew title is Messiah. Who is this teacher? Yahshua means deliverance, so deliverance is the teacher. Yahshua means liberty, so liberty is the teacher. Yahshua means health, because the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, the needy are unhealthy spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. So health and healing is the teacher. Who is the teacher? Yahshua means wealth, because the wealth spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically, the whole of the earth and the land and all that is in her has been taken from the oppressed. So wealth is the teacher. Prosperity, Yahshua, means prosperity to the oppressed and the destruction of the rulership of the ruling class and families who have impoverished the oppressed. So prosperity is the teacher. Vengeance is the teacher. Why vengeance? Because the Most High. You think I'm angry. You think Farrakhan is angry. You think O'Malley Yeshetela is angry. You think Ava Muhammad and Ishmael Muhammad and Tynetta Muhammad are angry. You think Tavis and Cornell. No, we're not as angry as the Most High. The Most High Yahweh is angry. And sisters and brothers, I was looking at the conversation that was conducted by Tavis Smiley. And I'm sitting there looking at these beautiful sisters and brothers talk about the condition of poverty in America. And I always want someone that is that voice of Louis Farrakhan in the absence of Louis Farrakhan. And that voice this time was a beautiful Caucasian brother named Michael Moore. And he spoke like he was Farrakhan, sisters and brothers. You got to go and chase down that conversation that was conducted by Tavis Smiley. But Michael Moore warned the wicked, warned the ruling class and ruling families, warned them that if they did not change, that the people would not remain passive forever. Michael Moore said, we do not wish bloodshed and violence and whatnot. But Michael Moore is looking at the condition of the people. He's looking at the people rising up and becoming fed up with this system. And Michael Moore is striving to be a good Christian. And Michael Moore has read the Bible. And Michael Moore has done films and documentaries on capitalism. And he's talking all the time to the ruling class and telling them, please change your ways. We don't want to see you destroyed. We don't want to see you taken out. But if you don't change your ways, he said on Tavis Smiley's conversation, maybe the oppressed would not remain so peaceful. But he's speaking into the anger of the people, and he's speaking ultimately into the anger of the Most High. The Most High says he and she, Father and Mother Yahweh, will take vengeance upon the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Please change your ways, ruling class and families, but we, the oppressed, we will unite, and we will stand up and unite and leave the oppressor. We're going to leave the oppressor, the ruling class and families. Leave them who don't want to change. Leave them to face death, and they will perish while we live life more abundantly. And those who want to change and join us are welcome. But if they don't want to change and want to continue warfare, bloodshed, and destruction, we leave them. We leave that mentality. We leave that consciousness. Christ is the teacher. What is Christ? That spirit to an anointing to raise up your soul, to raise up your consciousness, to raise up yourself and ourselves and stand up and challenge the system. Dr. King was a Christ among us. Dr. King was a manifestation of the body of Christ. Dr. King was a Jesus among us. That is why J. Edgar Hoover called Dr. King a black messiah. That is why J. Edgar Hoover referred to Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and Stokely Carmichael and those sisters and brothers, black people rising up, as black messiahs. Because we are they who have that mission to challenge this system and raise up oppressed indigenous peoples, red man and woman, raise up oppressed brown man and woman, raise up oppressed yellow man and woman, and raise up oppressed white man and woman or Caucasian man and woman and challenge this system. That is Christ. Every African Hebrew Israelite king, even when they went off course, but when they were anointed king, they pledged to stand up for the oppressed and fight the oppressor. Every African Hebrew Israelite prophet and deliverer stood up and was anointed and pledged to deliver the oppressed. Yahshua Christus is my teacher and your teacher today. We are the disciples. We are they. We are the students and disciples and being raised up to apostlehood or apostleship and missioned and commissioned to deliver, to bring deliverance and liberty and health and prosperity and wealth, and to warn, as Michael Moore did, warn the ruling class of the vengeance of the Most High that is sure to come and is on his way and is here as we speak. We have that spirit and that anointing to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. This is the mentality of the protesters. This is the mentality of the Occupy movement. There are deficiencies, but in general, the people are fed up with the system. Some are criticizing the Caucasian sisters and brothers who may not have been in the movement if they had not suffered what they are suffering, such as being cut off from education, cut off from aid in education, the rising exorbitant burden of debt because they have to take out loans to go to school, and the cost of education is so high that students are in debt. $50,000, tens of thousands of dollars. And the debt is rising and rising. And many Caucasian sisters and brothers who have lost homes, many Caucasian sisters and brothers who have lost jobs, who were a part of that sweet middle class, now they have suffered. And they have now seen that they must join the struggle. Certainly we say, you should have joined the struggle when you were doing well. But that wasn't the case. What are you going to do? Push them away now? No, what we do is we go to our Caucasian sister and brother and say, yes, we're glad you're here now. And let us give you more information, knowledge, and wisdom about this nasty system that was focused on just black, brown, red, and yellow. That was only focused on Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Central and South America, Mexico, the ghettos and barrios of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel. But now it's squeezing Caucasian middle class people and going after Caucasian middle class people. Let us be glad that they are with us now, and let us continue this unity, and let us gain and share knowledge with each other, and let us see God and God as Father and Mother in each other, and raise each other up and destroy the rulership of this wicked ruling class and ruling families. Feet like fine brass. That word brass, 5474. Jesus Christ, Yahshua Christus, Yahshua the Christus, Yahshua the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, had feet like fine brass. You know, in the book called Bible in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 9, verse 7, I believe, tells us that the children of Israel are children of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is Africa. Ethiopia is black. Ethiopia is Afro-Asiatic. Africa is the root. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, Zephaniah says, as an African Hebrew Israelite prophet, that I am the son of Cushi, and Cushi is a surname of Cush, and Cush means Ethiopia again. The sisters and brothers in Egypt, their records tell us that they came from Ethiopia. African Hebrews, African Egyptians, same people, one people. So Jesus had feet like brass. That word brass, found under the number 5474, carries the meaning of a metal like gold, if not more precious. If there is a metal that is more precious than gold, that's what this word brass means. Calco Libanon. That's interesting. It looks like Lebanon. Calco Libanon. And so, this man, this brother, this African, walking around today would look like any other black man on the streets of the United States of North America. Yahshua was a black man and is a black man and is an African. But Michelangelo, in 1550, I forget it was whether it was Pope Julius, but one, whichever was the Pope in 1550 AD, commissioned Michelangelo to change the pictures of Jesus, change the image, change the visage of Yahshua, and paint Yahshua white. Now, if the Catholic Church, meaning the Pope, the rulership, is all about the truth and recognizing Yahshua, recognizing Jesus, recognizing Yahshua Messiah, why change the color of Jesus? Why is that an issue? If we all talk about, I don't see color, color doesn't matter to me, well, color must have mattered to that Pope, and color mattered to Michelangelo. But even beyond the color, why change the color? Why change the appearance? Why do we have Michelangelo painting his relatives, his uncle, I believe it was his uncle, for God, made God the Father white. I think it was his cousin, made painted as Jesus, Jesus white, and his sister, painted to look like Mary, made Mary white, when the original depictions of the Most High were black, because scientifically, it's a black portion of space that propels scientifically the sun into its orbit and the moon and stars and planets in their orbits. And so Amen and Amenet is the hidden and unseen father and mother, and those, that hidden father and mother coming out of that blackness were depicted as black, not for arrogancy, because scientifically it is black that gives us everything. We come through blackness to be born. So black is the incubator. Black is the incubator for life. And so Yahshua was an African. Why change his color, Catholic Church? What is this all about? Why did you even change the man's message? Why did you even delete the revolution from the man's message? Why did you come in between us and the Bible and tell lies on the scriptures and cause us to think that Yahshua did not challenge you? Rome and Caesar and Babylon, why all of this? We're going to take our first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.